It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
The socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water, what it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapping down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths and misconceptions is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
And welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence, take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment in history. And thank you to the team. That's producer Joe, Luke, Rachel, Zach, Echo, Charlie, Mike, Teresa, Amanda, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Greatly appreciate all of them. Check out the website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. While you're there, make sure that you are signed up for our weekly email newsletter that goes out on Sundays, highlighting our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent essays. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. Thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice on an independent station, searching for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And it's not compassionate, it's not altruistic to take other people's stuff, whether or not it's their rights, their property, freedom, livelihoods, opportunities, childhoods, or lives. Via force. And force obviously can be a weapon, but it can be policy and unpredictable and excessive taxation and fear and coercion, government-induced inflation, the agenda of the World Economic Forum and the globalist elites using the United Nations, this Colorado governor and this legislature to push more and more control on our lives. And that's why Independence Week, the real No King's Day, is July 4th, 1776, where the colonists said that we want to create a country based on this vision that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So with that, we are pre-recording the shows for this week, or we'll be offering some shows that we've actually recorded in the past for Independence Week. But I am thrilled to have on the line with me Dr. Patrick Moore. He is a lifelong independent scientist and environmentalist. He was a co-founder of Greenpeace in 1971, and he's a humanitarian environmentalist who believes people are not the enemy of the environment, but rather an integral part of living creation, with a responsibility for both ourselves and all of our nature. Patrick Moore, welcome to the show.
It's very good to be back with you, Kim. Thank you.
Well, it is great to have you as well. And wanted to mention a couple of books. One of those is your book, Fake Catastrophes and Threats of Doom. And the other is Confessions of a Greenpeace Dropout, The Making of a Sensible Environmentalist. Those are both, I think, very important books, Dr. Moore.
Thanks very much. Yes, especially my most recent book, it's Fake Invisible Catastrophes and Threats of Doom. And the reason I use the word invisible is because so many of the so-called doomsday situations are things that people can't actually see for themselves. For example, carbon dioxide. You simply can't see it because it's invisible. So it's really easy to make up a story about it, that it's evil, or that it's going to kill everybody, or that it'll make hurricanes come, and it's all a lie. CO2 is the very foundation of life. If there was no CO2 in the atmosphere and in the oceans, which have most of the CO2 in them compared to the atmosphere, there would be no life, because the carbon in carbon dioxide is the basis of carbon-based life, which is all life. So this one point has been basically twisted and turned into something that's supposedly evil, when in fact it is the most important element, compound, for life. And so then you've got radiation. Oh, where's the radiation? I can't see it. That's because it's invisible. And so things that are invisible, you can make a story out of them anytime you want. and they make these doomsday stories about radiation. In fact, a small amount of radiation is exceptionally good for you. Sunlight is radiation from a star. And if we didn't have sunlight, we wouldn't be here. We would be just simply not here. And therefore, we should look for the positive in these things. It's true that massive shots of radiation can kill you. If you lay in the sun for 8 hours naked, you would get a pretty bad burn, and that is radiation. But if you are careful, you get a nice tan, and nothing wrong with that, because when you're tanned, you can take more radiation than when you're not, because the brown coloring in your skin, just like with the that's the reason why people in the tropics are dark skinned, because the melanin in their skin protects them from the radiation from the sun, which is both good at small levels and not so good at higher levels. So many, many things are good at one level and not at another level, whereas the doomsday people tend to make it out as if everything is bad. And that is not the truth. Most things are good. Otherwise, this life wouldn't be here. I just mentioned earlier, Kim, that we have no knowledge of any other planet with life on it besides this one. In the entire universe, for billions of years, billions of stars, and you'd think that we could talk to them and they could talk to us if they existed. I'm not ruling it out. Perhaps there is life somewhere else, but we don't know of it, even though we have very sophisticated technology to look deep into the stars and to be able to see things that are going on out there. And so far, nobody's talking back to us. So that's my little introduction. Okay. I've got a lot of things to say about the environment, and I'd be happy for you to just grill me as best you can.
Well, we will do that, and we'll do that in the next segment. A couple of things I did want to mention is thank you to the Harris family for their gold sponsorship of the show, and also Hooters Restaurants is a great sponsor of the show as well, and how I got to know them. Very important story about freedom and free markets and capitalism and those pesky PBIs, those politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties that are trying to control all the things in our lives. So Hooters Restaurants has 5 locations: Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs, and I've really appreciated their support of the show. And I know each and every one of my sponsors personally, and I get to work with really great people. I work with amazing sponsors, people that strive for excellence in all that they do. Pleased to have on the line with me Jody Hinsey with Mint Financial Strategies, and they can really tailor your financial plan to you. They don't have any cookie cutter plans, as she is focused on what works best for you to get you to your point of economic freedom, which is, I think, foundational to the American idea. Welcome, Jody Hinsey.
Thank you. Excited to get ready to celebrate the 4th of July and the Declaration of Independence.
Well, and we are pre-recording for this week of, I'm calling it a week now, Independence Week. And so what's your thoughts about our founding the Declaration? What do you think about that, Jody?
Well, it's kind of a fun week for me because my husband was actually born on the 4th of July. And so we always take heart for the 4th of July and the Declaration of Independence. And as, somebody who takes financial freedom and independence very seriously, you know, financial freedom is, you know, really important when we think about the Declaration of Independence, because obviously our founders were, you know, really striving for, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the only way we can really have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is through financial freedom.
Well, and it was really important because to them, and that's one of the reasons you go through the usurpations in the Declaration. And a lot of it was, I would say, regarding economic freedom. The fact that they were overtaxed, or here in Colorado, were overtaxed, were overfeed, is that that's why they dumped all that tea in the harbor, is they finally had said enough is enough. They were continuing to focus on being able to keep most of the fruits of their labor. They realized that there is some necessary government, but it's supposed to be limited and has a proper role. But I think the whole founding was about this whole economic freedom, which is what you specialize in at Mint Financial Strategies.
Yeah, and I'm starting to get a little bit concerned. You know, we're starting to see people over rely on government. We're starting to see people, you know, rely too much on government assistance, being burdened by debt. And, you know, if you really think about it, you know, if we're over relying on government assistance, we're taking a step back. And that's not what our founders wanted. Our founders wanted people to not rely on government assistance. We were founded on self-reliance and independence. And I am concerned that we're going in the wrong direction.
Well, I am as well. And that's why we do the show, is to, first of all, look at these issues from a reasoned standpoint and persuade people to understand why liberty, the responsible exercise of freedom, is so imperative to human flourishing and thriving. When we're dependent on government, ultimately, well, government picks winners and losers, and sometimes you're the winner, sometimes you're the loser. That's not what we want. We want this whole self-reliance, which is, it's foundational to the American idea. You see, Jefferson had it in the Declaration with life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. All of that is connected, Jody Hensy.
Agree. And that's what we do at Mint Financial, is we help people empower themselves to take ownership and become independent and not rely on the government. And so, you know, this week is just a reminder of that and why we don't want to rely on the government. So I am proud to help people. And that's, you know, why I do what I do. And, you know, I love being a financial advisor. That's the best part of my job, is helping people realize that independence and find that financial freedom.
And how can people get more information about Mint Financial Strategies?
Yeah, they can check us out on our website, which is MintFS. That FS stands for Financial Strategies, so mintfs.com. They can also text me or call me. Our text line is 303-285-3080. That's 303-285-3080.
Well, Jody, I wish you and your family a very blessed Independence Day, Independence Week, and happy birthday to your husband.
Thank you so much, Kim. Proud to be part of the show.
And again, that's Jody Hensy with Mint Financial Strategies, and we'll be right back.
Car thefts, hailstorms, and uninsured motorists are presenting unique insurance challenges for everyday hardworking Coloradans. The Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team knows that when you need to make an insurance claim, financial strength matters. State Farm consistently receives high marks for the company's financial condition and ability to pay claims. For that peace of mind, to know that you are working with a financially strong company, contact the Roger Mangan team now at 303-795-8855 for a complimentary appointment to assess your insurance coverage. That's 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The Second Amendment was established to ensure that all individuals have the right to resist oppression, stand firm against government overreach, and protect our ability to defend ourselves, our families, and our freedoms. Today, that right is under relentless attack in Colorado. Colorado's premier grassroots Second Amendment organization, the Second Syndicate, is on the front lines, fighting to preserve and protect your constitutional rights. We expose the most pressing threats to the Second Amendment and provide the education, resources, and tools to stay informed, empowered, and prepared. Join the movement. Protect your rights. Visit thesecondsyndicate.com. That's thesecondsyndicate.com, where the second is first.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter while you're at the website. That way you will get first look at our upcoming guests and our most recent essays. And we are pre-recording for this week of Independence Week. And so pleased to have on the line with me Dr. Patrick Moore. He is a lifelong independent scientist and environmentalist. And he is a humanitarian environmentalist who believes people are not the enemy of the environment, but rather an integral part of living creation with a responsibility for both ourselves and all of nature. He is the author of several books. One of those is Fake Catastrophes and Threats of Doom. Another is Confessions of a Greenpeace Dropout, The Making of a Sensible Environmentalist. And then Trees Are the Answer. And we talked a little bit about CO2 in the first segment, and CO2 is nature's fertilizer, and it's this big circle of life with plants and animals, and CO2 and oxygen. And why did you write the book Trees Are the Answer?
Well, a lot of people have just a single way of looking at trees. Some people look at trees and say we're going to chop those down for timber, and other people say they're more or less sacred and we should leave them alone. And neither of those one-dimensional approaches are appropriate, because the fact is wood is the most important renewable resource for civilization, for building originally all our homes. We started with wood. I mean, many buildings that last a long time are built with stone, but we still are building most of our residential buildings with wood. And people seem to think that if you cut the trees down, they'll never grow back again or something. But the fact of the matter is, you can't stop them from growing back. In many cases, you don't even have to plant new trees in order for the ecosystem to recover. So the key is to have a sensible approach to both harvesting timber and protecting trees. It's a two-way street. We had a situation back in Europe in the 1700s, before oil and gas and coal were being used extensively. Everything was wood. All the energy for making steel and glass and all the energy for heating homes and buildings was with wood. And as Europe became more populated, the forests started to disappear because they were using more wood than the forests could produce. So instead of being about 40% forested, Europe became only 15% forested because the trees were not growing back as fast as this new industrial European civilization was using them. And so then came fossil fuels. And now Europe is back to more than 40% forested because we're not using as much wood, especially for big things like oil refineries and steel manufacturing, things that use a lot of energy. And that was all being done with wood as Europe became an industrial civilization.
So, Patrick Moore, just an interesting dot that I think people should connect there is that it was fossil fuels that saved the forest, right?
That's exactly true. And the whole thing is actually part of one great cycle. What people don't understand is that all the coal and oil and gas, the fossil fuels as they're called, they're rightly called fossil fuels because all of those fossil fuels were once living creatures, trees and other plants. In the ocean, the oil and gas is produced by marine life going to the bottom when it dies and getting covered up in sediment and being lost to the cycle of life. The same thing on the land. We were cutting more wood than was growing, and that has been stopped by the use of fossil fuels. But the, one of the problems with that is that people simply don't understand that all the fossil fuels came from forests and other living creatures, mainly forests. That's why there's so much coal, because the trees turned into coal and were buried in the ground. And same with the oceans. The sediment of the bottom of the sea is full of oil and gas that was living trees and other living vegetation in the past. So it's a great, perfect cycle.
Okay.
And if people would understand that, they would realize that it's okay to use trees up to a point, and only up to the point where they grow back as fast as you cut them. And it's a simple cycle. But most people don't realize that gas, oil, and coal were from living creatures that got buried. Not creatures. I wouldn't call a tree a creature, would I? But anyways, living vegetation became coal and oil and gas in the oceans and on the land.
So,
and so it's all one big cycle. And the problem is, though, is that CO2 was once much higher than it is today, like 5,000 parts per million, whereas today it's only 425. And we've brought that up from about 280. So we have almost doubled the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere by understanding what we are doing. And the fact is, CO2 should be much higher, 1,000 ppm, 2,000 ppm. That would be the absolute best for the, all of the vegetation, the ones that are using the sunlight to turn CO2 into trees and other life forms. That it's a cycle. And people think that the coal, oil, and gas is something foreign, that they don't understand that it came from trees primarily and from living creatures in the sea. And so if you see that cycle, you understand much more clearly why it's okay to use coal, oil, and gas, because it is the result of life. So, and now we are putting the CO2 back into the atmosphere, which was going down, 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 down through the ages because it was being lost to the sediments and not being able to be circulated again. We are recirculating the living trees and other living things that died. We are recirculating them back into life. And so it's a very simple chart. But everybody is being told that it's evil, the coal, oil, and gas. And again, it's because you can't see CO2. CO2 is the common factor to the whole thing.
Well, and CO2...
That's as best I can explain it.
Okay, CO2, somebody said to me, is nature's fertilizer. You've also done a lot of great work with the CO2 Coalition, and at this time I'd like to mention a Climate Conversation documentary, which I had the great honor to moderate. It's a project of Walt Johnson. We did a great podcast series, and Dr. Patrick Moore was one of our guests there. Question is, are we creating more oil and gas? You said that the sediment at the bottom of the ocean is what's creating oil and natural gas. So is that in any way renewable, or is it renewing itself?
Yes. The thing is that we are using the oil, coal, and gas faster than it is being created now, and that is allowing it to be put back into living trees and life. We will eventually, I hope, find a lower level of consumption that still continues to increase the CO2 level in the atmosphere, and eventually maybe level it off and stop using so much fossil fuels, finding an equilibrium location where the forests are growing fast and can grow much faster than they are now. They're still at a sort of starvation level at 425 or 30 parts per million. They would prefer 1,000 any day of the week. So we're still catching up with that. You see, it's the exact opposite. Humans are the salvation of life on Earth because we are the only species that can take the coal, oil, and gas that has been locked away in sediments where it can't get back into the life cycle. We're putting it back into the life cycle. But we're putting it back much faster than the plants can use it because we're a big civilization and we use a lot of fossil fuels. So in the future, we have the opportunity to shift into nuclear energy in a larger way, and that's starting to happen again already. Finally, people are realizing that nuclear energy is not evil. It is like one of the most amazing sources of energy in the world, and there's so much uranium and plutonium and all the other, and thorium. There's enough nuclear energy buried in the earth, and it's not made from life. It's a stone, and there's enough of it to last for maybe millions of years, I would say. So we can bring a balance about, and when people get the gist of it, and when finally the leaders of the world and how we go forward with policy on this stuff will recognize that CO2 is the foundation of all life, and that we can balance it by putting more of it in the atmosphere or reducing the amount of fossil fuels we're using to let the trees grow more. It's something that we could actually, if the world were united in its understanding of these things, we could get a balance of nature unlike anything that's ever been in the world history of billions of years. We are capable of understanding this, whereas robins are not, and neither are sheep or trees. So we have a special role to play in that we've come along with our knowledge of science at such a time when the CO2 in the atmosphere was going down to such a low level that it was stopping the growth of life from being faster than it should be. And even reducing the whole world's ecosystems because the CO2 had got so low, 180 ppm during the most recent glacial maximum 20,000 years ago. But I won't get into the deep details on that right now. But all I'm saying is that humans are the salvation of life by putting CO2 back into the atmosphere and fertilizing all of the chlorophyll containing life, which is all the plants. And then the plants feed the animals, and there you've got the ecosystem. And it's not rocket science.
Okay.
It's very simple chemistry.
Okay. I'm talking with Dr. Patrick Moore. And when we come back, I want to ask him about CO2 pipelines, because it seems to me like it's a dumb idea to take nature's fertilizer, this part, this big, perfect cycle, and start to bury it. So we'll talk about that when we come back. We have these important discussions because of our sponsors. And if you're buying or selling a home, you want to make sure that you have Karen Levine on your side of the table.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance understands the importance of home ownership. Karen Levine works diligently at the local, county, state, and national levels to protect your private property rights. With over 30 years' experience as a Colorado realtor, Karen Levine will help you navigate the complicated metro real estate market, whether you are buying your home, selling your home, considering a new build, or exploring investment properties. Kim Monson highly recommends Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate needs.
A serious accident or a life-changing injury can leave you with seemingly insurmountable physical, emotional, and financial challenges. How will you be able to afford your medical bills? What if you can't return to work? The attorneys at Bozen Law understand the immense stress you are under and want to help. Bozen Law's attorneys have decades of experience helping people like you navigate some of the most difficult times in their lives. Bozen Law can provide the guidance and support you need to get back on your feet. Call Bozen Law now at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary appointment. That's 303-999-9999. Don't delay.
When you're looking for a premium quality painting experience or professional temporary outdoor lighting, call our friends at Radiant Painting and Lighting. The owner, Karen Gorday, spent over 20 years in the customer service industry. She and her experienced professionals will treat your home as if it were their own and take great pride in their work. They only deliver excellence. When giving your home a beautiful new paint job, they use premium caulk and paint and will always deliver what they say. They don't just enhance your space, they transform it. When you want excellence, call Radiant Painting and Lighting at 720-940-3887.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. We are pre-recording these shows for Independence Week. And before we get back to Dr. Patrick Moore, I want to mention the USMC Memorial Foundation, the amazing work that they are doing for the remodel of the Marine Memorial, which is right here in Golden, Colorado. During this time, during this week, this is a good week to go to usmcmemorialfoundation.org and make a contribution, because it is so important that we honor and remember those that have given their lives, have been willing to give their lives for liberty. And what is liberty? It is the responsible exercise of freedom. And Dr. Patrick Moore is on the line. He's a lifelong independent scientist and environmentalist. He was a co-founder of Greenpeace in 1971, and he's a humanitarian environmentalist who believes people are not the enemy of the environment, but rather an integral part of living creation with a responsibility for both ourselves and all of nature. He's the author of several books. One of those is Fake Catastrophes and Threats of Doom. You want to make sure that you have that. Confessions of a Greenpeace Dropout, The Making of a Sensible Environmentalist. Trees Are the Answer. We're talking about CO2. Dr. Patrick Moore, CO2 is nature's fertilizer. And if we have more CO2, plants thrive and flourish. And of course, in the big cycle of life, then that means that humans and animals thrive and flourish. But we have public policy that, through tax incentives and tax credits, are advocating and working to use these CO2 pipelines, capture CO2, pipe it someplace, and bury it in the ground. And the Trump administration seems to be supporting this tax policy. I'm very uncomfortable with that. I think we need to get rid of government grants and tax credits and tax incentives across the board and have a real free market on this. But what do you think about these CO2 pipelines?
Well, I think President Trump is probably trying to throw them a bone, because he is going to open up lots of more land for oil and gas and coal production. He's in favor of fossil fuels. So he's probably thinking this is a make-work project where they can put some CO2 back in the ground. But it's actually, from an ecological point of view, it's completely ridiculous to put the CO2 back in the ground. We finally took it out where it can be of use in fertilizing all of the earth, because that's what the trees and all plants are using to grow, is carbon dioxide. Of course, they need other things too, like nitrogen and various other elements, but CO2 is the backbone of life in terms of making chlorophyll and just carbon-based life. That's what it's called. And it's called carbon-based life because of CO2. And so we should not be burying CO2 and paying for our sins, as they probably see this as. It's not a sin to put CO2 into the atmosphere. It is beneficial to all life, right? Because animals couldn't exist if it weren't for plants. I think most people know that. And so what we can do for plants is something we should think about. How can we make the plants grow faster? How can we make them healthier? All kinds of things. And CO2 is a big part of that. As a matter of fact, as I've mentioned many times, if it weren't for CO2, there would be no life. And that would not be a very exciting situation. So let's get over this idea that we've got to stop putting CO2 into the atmosphere, because that is what makes life possible. And we could now let it get up to, it's at 435 or something now, ppm, parts per million, that is. That is even like way less than 1% of the atmosphere is CO2. CO2 is not a very big effect on climate. Water has way more effect on climate. H2O, look at the seas, look at the clouds, look at the rain, look at the snow, look at the ice. That's all water. So water is by far the most important moderator of climate on the Earth, not CO2. CO2 is the most important nutrient for life. And of course, H2O, water, is necessary as well. And but we don't have any problem with water. There's plenty of it. And it's CO2 that is declining, or was declining, until we came along and started burning fossil fuels. And now we have pretty well doubled it from where it was at the extreme low level, the lowest level in the history of the Earth, because the plants were dying and turning into coal, oil, and gas. That is where they came from. And so it's a simple cycle, and anybody can understand it, that we need to allow the CO2 to go higher and higher and higher. At 1,000 ppm, we could say, okay, that's good enough. 2,000 would be fine. So would 5,000, because it's been 10,000 during periods of life when life flourished, when trees evolved, you know, 300 million years ago. When trees evolved, CO2 was at least 5,000 parts per million. And that made it very lush and made the coal that we're using now for energy. So this is a very interesting cycle. But in the final analysis, with the amount of population we have on the Earth, we would be best to switch to nuclear gradually over time and to basically say, okay, this is how much CO2 we should be putting back into the atmosphere, because it's still going to get buried over and over and over and over again as plants die and fall into the ocean or make soil, et cetera, et cetera. The cycle tends to reduce the CO2 in the atmosphere and increase it in the bottom of the ocean and in the sediments on the land. And so we can find a balance there, where in the final analysis, we can use solar energy to bring CO2 into the atmosphere by using high temperature. So we can actually use solar energy to make CO2 come into the atmosphere. And so for the future of another 100,000 years or more, that is what's going to come into play. But we don't need to worry about that now. We should just keep using fossil fuels and increasing the level of CO2 till it gets up to about 1,000, which is about three times what it is now, and or two and a half or three times what it is now. That won't take long if we just stop the idea of burying CO2 as soon as we put it in the atmosphere. That is the stupidest thing we could do. So I don't know if I've explained it well enough, but that is the truth. And I know it as a scientist all my life. I've never been employed by anybody who has got a political angle on this stuff, like burying CO2 and all the other goofy things they say, which makes them money but doesn't do any good to the environment whatsoever. This is the direction we should go in. And yet people are being told that it's kind of like evil to use CO2, to make CO2, and when in fact it is the most important thing for life on Earth. that's about all I can say, I guess.
So, Dr. Moore, then, the dot to connect is if CO2 is important for life on Earth, and as after doing the Climate Conversation documentary and our podcast series, is what I have learned is really this movement regarding climate change, using CO2 as the cudgel to control everything, is that there are those that thinks there's too many people on the Earth, and by reducing CO2 could reduce the human population. And that seems to me like that is one of the things that they're trying to accomplish. And I think that we can coexist. I think humans can coexist, this number of people on this planet, and thrive and flourish. And so those two ideas are in complete opposition to each other.
Yeah, but there's a really easy solution. Those who think there's too many people should go first. They should make an example for themselves. Because if they think they're doing bad things, they should punish themselves and just jump in the ocean and drown, or however they want to do it. They should probably make sure their body is available for feed after they kill themselves. But that, to me, if anybody who comes to that conclusion that there's too many people, are there too many trees? Because there sure as heck a lot more trees than there are people. And everybody thinks that's a good thing. And what's wrong with people? Well, there's a lot of things wrong with people. They have wars and stuff. But it seems that goes back to the caveman when there's hardly any people. They were still fighting with each other all the time.
Good point.
And so I'm a pacifist. I have never harmed anyone, purposely at least. And I think that everybody should try that for a while. But it seems that the nature of humans, as it is many other animals, it's not as if there isn't strife in other species. Tooth red in tooth and claw and all that sort of thing. We have to eat something, and usually it's something that was living. And some people are vegetarians because they don't want to eat animals, and I support that. I'm not one of those, but I do actually focus more on fruit and vegetables now than I did when I was younger. But I like a piece of meat once in a while. I have to think the fact that I'm eating an animal, and people seem to be able to cope with that. And it is part of nature. But the people who say there's too many people, again, if you think that way, then you have a duty to be the first one to go.
I kind of had come to that same conclusion, because we can coexist on this planet and people can thrive and flourish. And that is really what we want to be about, is humans that are thriving and flourishing. We're having this important discussion with Dr. Patrick Moore, and he has such a interesting perspective on all of these different things. But a couple of things I wanted to mention was the Center for American Values, which is located in Pueblo, Colorado. They are on the beautiful Riverwalk there, and they're focused on these foundational principles of honor, integrity, and patriotism. And they're non-political, and they're non-partisan, but there's these key principles. So check out their website for more information. That is AmericanValueCenter.org, AmericanValueCenter.org. And wanted to mention our great sponsor, Lauren Levy, for Everything Mortgages.
High inflation and increasing property taxes are making it more challenging for seniors to make ends meet. If you're 62 or older, a reverse mortgage may be the solution for what's keeping you up at night. It is essential that you understand the process and work with a trusted professional. Mortgage expert Lauren Levy will help you craft solutions for your unique circumstances, whether a mortgage, a second mortgage, or a reverse mortgage. If you'd like to explore what a reverse mortgage can do for you, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881. Call now.
Franktown Firearms, in conjunction with Colorado CQB, will prepare you for real-world defense of your life and property. Imagine you get home and walk through your front door, and something seems off. A smell, a noise, a shadow that shouldn't be there. What you do next makes all the difference. Franktown's Shoot House is the only facility of its kind in Colorado where they run live-action scenarios using airsoft. Real rooms, real cover, and real training with highly qualified instructors. And their training is available for people of all skill levels, including you. For June and July, when you sign up for a range membership at Franktown, you're automatically enrolled in CQB for free. You'll get discounted firearm classes, concealed handgun training, and more. Classes at CQB fill up quickly, so sign up now while you can. Go to klzradio.com/Franktown and click on the CQB link to learn more. Or just send them a question through the online form. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And we are pre-recording for this week of Independence Week. So thrilled to be talking with Dr. Patrick Moore. He's a lifelong independent scientist and environmentalist, and he believes people are not the enemy of the environment, but rather an integral part of living creation with a responsibility for both ourselves and all of nature. He is the author of several books, and you should have this one for sure at home, and that is Fake Catastrophes and Threats of Doom. But he also wrote Confessions of a Greenpeace Dropout, The Making of a Sensible Environmentalist, and also Trees Are the Answer. In this last segment, Patrick, I'd like to get your read on Donald Trump. And as far as his policies, we saw recently that he is getting rid of the California mandate on electric vehicles, on EVs. California and some other states want to sue him. I think Colorado's in on that. They want to forcibly take away people's choices. He also said that he is getting rid of the climate narrative, that he is supporting oil and gas and coal development. What's your thoughts about his policies?
Kim, I think in general they're very progressive. It's about time that people recognized that fossil fuels were made from life and that they are not the enemy of life, but rather they are, for civilization at least now, a very important part of it. On the other hand, it is a resource that is not forever. There's only so much coal, oil, and gas. But at this point in time, we don't really need to worry too much about that because there is just so much of it in the Earth's crust that we haven't even discovered yet. And what we are doing now by increasing the CO2 in the atmosphere is very beneficial for all life, and that's all vegetation. And vegetation is necessary for all animal life. So we can deal just fine as long as we have good pollution control technology, which we do, to put on the pipes that are burning these fuels that came from life in the first place. So that covers that. But going into the future, we do need to look at nuclear energy. And many countries have continued or started to build nuclear plants, like India. China's been in it for a long time. The United States and the Western world, for some reason, decided in the 1970s that nuclear energy was bad and have not done much to increase it, indeed to decrease it, since then, and it's time that ended. Because the radiation issue has been used to scare people, and it too is invisible, like CO2. So they can make up any scare story they want about it, when in fact, radiation is also essential for life on Earth.
Well, and I think, Patrick, that back in the 70s, didn't Jane Fonda do that movie, The China Syndrome, about nuclear meltdown, I guess, if that's the right word. And I think that was very influential in stopping the progression of nuclear energy in the U.S. What do you think?
It was very influential, except that nobody was harmed in that accident. The only nuclear accident that has killed people was the Chernobyl, which was a stupid design, and it wasn't during normal operating procedures. Some nuclear physicists from Nuclear Central in Moscow went down to Chernobyl and told the operator to turn off the safety systems so they could do an experiment. And their experiment turned out to be a huge explosion of the nuclear plant. In fact, 67 people died in Chernobyl. They are the only people who have died in a nuclear plant accident. Nuclear is the safest. If you take Chernobyl away, which was an exceptionally bad design to begin with, I could go into that, but believe me, it was not safe, safely done. Whereas the other reactor designs all around the world are safe. But the most important thing is that small amounts of radiation are very beneficial to life. For example, the sun. The sun is radiation. And when we get a suntan, it's because we are being bombarded with radiation, which is a powerful force. It can make us turn brown. And the reason we turn brown is because we start to build melanin to prevent ourselves from being damaged by the radiation of the sun. Because if you laid in the sun for 12 hours steady with no clothes on, it may kill you. But the important fact is that a small amount of radiation is very beneficial to us because it challenges the body's cellular repair mechanism and makes it possible for us to withstand even more radiation than we would if we weren't challenged mainly by the sun, but also by other radioactive sources. If people do this, they get into a cubicle with sunlight, you know, fake sunlight in it to tan themselves. And this is known as hormesis. Hormesis is the theory, which is true, that small doses of radiation are beneficial because they challenge the body's cellular repair mechanism. Every living thing has a cellular repair mechanism. Take, for example, a plant. If it's in the heavy sunshine, it could be harmful to it. But mostly, it's beneficial because it makes the plant grow. And with animals, it helps your system to be ready for radiation. So there's a point where radiation becomes beneficial, and then another point where it's neutral, and then it can be harmful.
Well, and
so it's not as if it's harmful from zero. It's beneficial from zero up to a certain point. That's called hormesis, and then at that point you don't want any more because it can then become negative. So the fact is, nobody has died, except for in Chernobyl, from a nuclear plant accident. It is the safest form of making energy in the world. If you look at the oil and gas, and people die on oil rigs and stuff, there are fatalities in most of the other energy technologies. But nuclear is the safest, and yet they scare us because of radiation, again, something that is invisible. And it's the invisible things that they can take advantage of scaring us with, because we can't see it.
Well,
so if you can't see it, this is why the coral reefs are used as a whipping boy for the world is dying, because most people don't get to see them, even though they are not invisible, but they might as well be invisible because they're underwater. And the same thing with polar bears. That's why coral reefs and polar bears are used to scare people, because no one can, hardly anybody can go up to the Arctic and count the polar bears. Their population has quadrupled since the treaty in 1971 was passed by all Arctic countries, United States, Canada, Norway, Sweden, etc., Russia, all signed a treaty to reduce the level of hunting on polar bears and let them grow in population. And that is what has happened. And so Coca-Cola takes the polar bear as an icon and makes everybody think that they're going extinct if they don't drink Coca-Cola or something. So the public is in many ways not getting the truth, because people are using these things to make money for themselves, to scare us into thinking that CO2 is going to destroy the world, that nuclear energy is going to kill everybody. It's because nobody can see it. Again, I repeat that over and over again. If you can't see it, you can't judge it. And so you need to get more education on it in order to understand the truth about it. Because there's no way you can just look at the CO2, because it's invisible. Well, and there's no way to make it visible. So you have to learn about it, because it's a complicated situation.
Well, and that's why your book, Fake Catastrophes and Threats of Doom, is so important. And you are an optimist, Dr. Patrick Moore. We've got a minute left. What's your final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners?
I would like to see a future where people understand that they are a positive factor in the Earth's cycle. There are bad people, agreed, and we should take care of them one way or another. But most people are good, and that is exactly why there's so many of us here, because we are living peacefully and not trying to harm anyone else, with some exceptions, of course. But in general, this is the only planet we know that has life on it. So we should worship it almost. I'm not a worship type person, but I do think that it's a miracle that this situation occurs, that I am here and you are there, and we are all on this planet together, and we should work together to make it more beautiful. And one of those ways to do it is with more CO2 and not being afraid of nuclear energy, because it will be the energy for human civilization, the primary energy for human civilization for thousands of years to come, that long after the fossil fuels have been depleted.
And Dr. Patrick Moore, thank you. This has been absolutely fascinating. And I always like to make the point, the creation is obviously amazing and beautiful. But I think we have to be careful to not worship the creation, but to worship the creator. Our quote for the end of the show is from George Washington. He said this: "Be Americans. Let there be no sectionalism, no north, south, east, or west. You are all dependent on one another and should be one in union. In one word, be a nation, be Americans, and be true to yourselves." That's George Washington. My friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you're not alone. God bless you. God bless America. And stay tuned for hour number two.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
The socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water, what it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapping down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
on an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths, and misconceptions is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
And welcome to hour number two of the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You each are treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment in history. I get to work with a great team. That's producer Joe, Luke, Rachel, Zach, Echo, Charlie, Mike, Teresa, Amanda, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Greatly appreciate all of them. The website is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. And make sure you sign up for our weekly email newsletter that goes out each week. You can do that at the website. It goes out on Sundays to highlight our upcoming guests as well as our most recent essays. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. That's MUNSON.com. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to use force to do it. And it's not compassionate, and it's not altruistic to take other people's stuff, whether or not it's their rights, their property, freedom, livelihood, opportunity, childhoods, or lives via force. And we know force can be a weapon, but it can also be policy and unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, this government-induced inflation, the agenda of the World Economic Forum and globalist elites. They're using the United Nations. You see it playing out down here at this Colorado State Legislature with this Colorado governor. And there's lots of different ways, but they can use land use codes and zoning regulations, a whole bunch of different things to take away our liberty to take away our freedom. The show does come to you 6 to 8 a.m. Monday through Friday. First hour is rebroadcast 1 to 2 in the afternoon. Second hour, 10 to 11 at night. And that is on all KLZ 560 platforms, which is KLZ 560 AM, 100.7 FM, the website, and the app. And we are pre-recording these shows for Independence Week. And very pleased to have on the line with me Jay Davidson. He is the founder and CEO of First American State Bank, which is a community bank located right here in the metro area. And they really have, I think community banks have really been the banks that has helped everyday people thrive and prosper and go after their hopes and dreams. Jay Davidson, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Kim. It's an honor to be with you.
And before we get into talking about Independence Day, Independence Week, let's talk a little bit about First American State Bank. We talk about liberty all of the time, and liberty is the responsible exercise of freedom. And you actually met Maggie Thatcher, but she has a great quote. I'll paraphrase it. You cannot have political freedom if you don't have economic freedom. And you are in the business of helping people get to economic freedom at First American State Bank.
Yeah, that's very true. I did meet Maggie Thatcher. She is a diminutive woman, but her speaking voice, her intellect towers above other men. She was an amazing person to hear speak, and very straightforward and quite elegant lady. Anyway, what does First American do? Well, we facilitate your handling of your money. You want to deposit and get some interest on your deposits? We can do that. You want to do online banking? Got all the suites and mobile apps available. You want a loan to build your business or, you know, get a home? We can do that. We're strictly a commercial, independent community bank. We're plugged into mom and pop and Main Street and people in our neighborhood. And, you know, the only commodity I really have to sell, because every other bank has every other commodity, is personal service. And I know they all say it, but we actually do it.
Well, I know that you do have that personal service, that relationship. I think that more and more people are searching for a personal relationship with the people that they do business with. Not everybody, but I think that there is a big swath of people that want to get back to having those personal relationships. And I think it just makes life fuller and richer. And so I love the fact that First American State Bank focuses on those relationships. And I used to think that First American State Bank just worked with high net worth individuals because I would see some of your ads and I would know some of the names. But that's not the case, is it?
No, not at all. We work with everybody and anybody. In fact, we're making a concerted effort to attract the younger business person, let's say millennial age or Gen Z or by beefing up our mobile apps. I mean, you can do the full suite of your banking from your iPhone now. And so we're trying to advertise to attract these younger people. Younger, for me, it's younger as anybody under 60. So, the whole idea is that when you're young and starting your business, you don't really need a bank like mine, honestly, because, you know, you don't have many difficulties. But as you grow your business, you're going to run into problems. That's just part of doing business. And you want a really good accountant, a really good lawyer, and a really good banker on your team when you run into those difficulties, because solutions could come from any one of those different areas. And that's what we offer, solutions. We don't say no. We say, here's how we can do it.
I love that. And how can people get more information about First American State Bank?
Go to FASBank, FASBank.com, best way, or come by and see us. We're 8390 East Crescent Parkway in Greenwood Village. If you know where Yaya Zero Cafe is, we're just about 20 steps away from that.
Okay. And I think we'll finish up this particular segment and then delve into your thoughts about the American founding. But we are blessed with amazing sponsors such as First American State Bank, but also the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. And they can create personalized insurance plans to cover all your needs, from protection for your cars to your home, condo, boat, motorcycle, business, and renter's coverage. Contact the Roger Mangan Team now at 303-795-8855 for a complimentary appointment. Like a good neighbor, Roger Mangan's team is there. I get to work with amazing people as sponsors of the show, and one of those is Roger Mangan and the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. And Roger, we are in Independence Week. We are pre-recording these interviews, but wanted to get your thoughts about America's independence, our Declaration of Independence, our founding. What's your thoughts about that?
Kim, that is an amazing story. If you have any girth or grit in your human makeup, you have got to be proud of what happened in July of 1776. Think about it, 56 men in a room coming up with a model for government that never existed before in human history. And they came up with a Declaration of Independence against a tyrannical England, putting their life, their families, their wealth on the line. And these were all pretty well-educated men, of course. Every colony had a representative. I think it was New Hampshire had one, and Massachusetts had several, Pennsylvania had several. The very thought of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, Thomas Jefferson, primary author of the Declaration, and a student of his era, you know, and Jefferson isn't the creator of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I think Jean-Jacques Rousseau talked about it too, and he was very... Governments existed for the government was created for the people, okay? That concept wasn't really in practice and for the previous thousand years in Europe. So for what these 56 people, ladies, if you take offense, but in those days, it was the men who were pretty much in charge of those kinds of things. Yes, they had support. All of their wives were behind them as well. But apart from making that distinction, I think knowing that our lives today were in the hands of those men who were very astute, very well-educated. They were just tired of being beaten up by the British and having troops housed in their houses and paying taxes with no representation. They were fed up. They said, hey, it's time for us to make a decision. And they put it all together and made a declaration on July 4th, 1776, and said, here it is, King George III. We here's where we are. And, of course, we know what happened. We have a Revolutionary War trying to suppress the thoughts and wisdom of these 56 men.
Well, and that declaration that everyday people, first of all, that were created by God, that we're equal, and that we have these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, it truly is remarkable. And what could happen? Well, America happened. We do see from in the battle of ideas that there is a real assault upon this vision of the Declaration. That's why I think many times I say we're in the third founding of our country, which means we're in a interesting time and an exciting time. We've got about a minute left. Roger, your final thought on all this.
You know, of those three elements in the Declaration, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, you know, I've thought a lot about that. And I think for me, the most important one is the pursuit of happiness, because I want to be able to, as an American citizen, as a human being, pursue happiness as I define it, not how some government defines it. Life's important, liberty's important, no doubt, but when you have a government that impedes your ability to pursue your happiness, and we have experienced that in the last 5 to 10 years, we have government being very intrusive into our lives, restricting our freedoms, and abusing power. Like it or not, we have to continue to fight for the happiness we pursue with government support and not with government intrusion.
Agreed. And we have that responsibility to pass that on to the next generation as well. You can reach the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team at 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan team is there.
Property is surely a right of mankind, as real as liberty, wrote Founding Father John Adams. RE/MAX Realtor Karen Levine has been working diligently at the local, county, state, and national levels to protect property rights and home ownership. Karen has navigated the often challenging Colorado metro real estate market for years. Karen Levine is the trusted professional for you to turn to when you are buying or selling your home, considering a new build, or exploring investment opportunities. Realtor Karen Levine, you want her on your side of the table. Call Karen at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
When you're looking for a premium quality painting experience or professional temporary outdoor lighting, call our friends at Radiant Painting and Lighting. The owner, Karen Gourdet, spent over 20 years in the customer service industry. She and her experienced professionals will treat your home as if it were their own and take great pride in their work. They only deliver excellence. When giving your home a beautiful new paint job, they use premium caulk and paint and will always deliver what they say. They don't just enhance your space, they transform it. When you want excellence, call Radiant Painting and Lighting at 720-940-3887.
Do you strive for excellence as you work with your clients and customers? Does it make sense for you to add a unique and focused branding opportunity to your marketing portfolio? Would you like to access a broad customer base that loves our country and wants to make life better for ourselves, our neighbors, our colleagues, our children, and our grandchildren? Then you may be a perfect fit as a sponsor or partner of The Kim Munson Show. To learn more, reach out to Kim at kim@kimmunson.com. Kim would love to talk with you. Again, that's kim@kimmunson.com.
And welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And financial freedom starts with the right guide, and Mint Financial Strategies is here to help. As an independent firm with over 25 years of experience and the credentials credentials of an accredited investment fiduciary, they offer advice that's focused on you, not a sales quota. Their strategy-first approach is all about helping you live life on your terms with clarity, confidence, and control. Call Mint Financial Strategies today at 303-285-3080. They are your path to independent financial confidence. And I'm talking with Jay Davidson. He is the founder and CEO of First American State Bank, a community bank located right here in Greenwood Village in the metro area. And Jay Davidson, first of all, you are of the school of Austrian economics. But all of that, I think, is very connected to the vision of our founding. Would you agree?
Oh, totally. Yeah, it's a very astute observation. It's amazing how freedom, individual freedom, and the rights of the individual to ownership of property tie directly into capitalism and into free market economies. Yes, exactly.
So the founders, I wanted to, we're pre-recording all this for the week of Independence Week. And so I wanted to just talk about, or get your thoughts on our American founding.
I've got to say a couple things here. I mean, I've read all the great philosophers and the great religions, reading the Constitution, the Federalist Papers, the discourse between the founders of our nation. I would rank the men who created our nation as profound as the great philosophers were. Because what they brought forth, they closed it in the form of a nation, but they brought forth a concept that was absolutely unique in the world up until that time. And if you think back in history, in order to get to Hashem or God, capital G, you had to go through an intermediary. If you're Christian, it's Jesus Christ. If you're Buddhist, it's the Buddha. If you're Catholic, it's the Pope, or you had to go through a monarch, a pharaoh, whatever. There was always an intermediary there that inserted him or herself between you and the Almighty. Thomas Jefferson, in the Declaration of Independence, destroyed that entire concept in America, not in the rest of the world. And this is the difference between Europe thinking and American thinking. In America, we individually believe that the divine spark of our Creator exists within us, each of us individually. And we can choose to go to a church or to go through Jesus or go through Moses or whatever you want. But the fact of the matter is that the individual spark of our Creator exists in each one of us. And if that is the case, and it is, then there are certain inalienable rights. And he's used the word inalienable appropriately because these rights are bestowed on us by our Creator. They cannot be changed, given, taken by any other man, period. And the original text was the inalienable rights are life, liberty or freedom, and ownership of property. And I say ownership of property with knowledge that it was changed to pursuit of happiness, and we can go into why that is. But the fact of the matter is that ownership of property, the true individual ownership of property, the right to it, is the basis of capitalism, of Austrian school economics, and it's also the basis of our Constitution and our nation's formation. It's that profound a concept.
Well, and let's do talk a little bit about this, why they changed it from ownership of property to pursuit of happiness. I've always thought it was because at that particular point in time, we had slavery, and slaves were considered property. And, of course, if all men are created equal, with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, slavery doesn't match up with that. And so I've always thought that's why the words were changed to pursuit of happiness. Your thoughts?
Same. Identical. That's exactly why Ben Franklin talked Thomas and Jefferson into changing that, because they couldn't get a coalition of the southern states, who were predominantly slave-owning people, to build the Constitution, and Franklin and Jefferson felt it was more important that we create a Constitution. They were probably right, but, you know, it festered. It led to the Civil War, to the most, American-on-American deaths of any war that we've ever had. You know, but it was the right thing, and that honestly was the birth of the Republican Party. And the term Republican comes from the formation of our government, which is a constitutional republic.
Mm-hmm.
Republic means governed by the people. Constitution is the rule of law. And if you read the Constitution, it specifically and almost exclusively applies to government action, not to individuals.
Well, in the Constitution, it was put in place, Jay, to limit government power. And I think that you and I both had seen a post by Tom Kranewitter that said the real No Kings Day is, because we've had all these No Kings protests and riots, is July 4th, 1776. I thought, I love that.
He's a brilliant writer. I really respect him. Very profound thinker, but... Yeah, exactly. And you know, if there was a king here, do you think these people could protest the king without getting their heads cut off?
Good point.
I mean, it's just so ridiculous what they're doing. Now, Trump has a tendency, as does J.D. Vance, as Tom Kranewitter will tell you, and he's correct, they have a tendency to being a little dictatorial at times. And I'll criticize them for it, even though I voted for him. Because that's not appropriate. I don't need a tyrant running the office. I think they should be a little bit more circumspect in their comments and their actions. But be that as it may, Trump is not a king. He's not anything. He's a egotistical man, powerful man with a lot of different ideas. And for the most part, he's doing a great job. And doing some things stupidly, but okay. I guess if I was perfect, I could throw the first stone. But since I'm not throwing it.
Well, and I've really tried to watch this and be honest about the policies out there. Where I think that something is unconstitutional, I want to talk about that, because our North Star is our Constitution, which is put in place to put forward our vision from the Declaration of life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, all of those things. So I do want to be honest about Trump. And I know there are some things that he's doing great regarding walking back mandates on EVs and opening up energy exploration and trying to protect our kids against the radical transgender agenda. So there are some things I really, really like. But when I see something that is not constitutional, I think we need to have a conversation about that as well. As Americans, we have a duty to do that, I think, Jay Davidson.
Hey, you're exactly right. I mean, every time you say freedom, you need to say responsibility. One doesn't exist without the other. And the responsibility for us to have the freedom to vote for these people is that we have to monitor them, and we have to criticize them when they step out of the way, hoping that we can educate them, we as the population, we the people, can educate them to right their wrongs, hoping. Sometimes it works, and then sometimes the bear gets you.
Well, and that's why, though, we need to be engaged citizens. Our founders realized that we have to have an engaged, virtuous citizenry in order to continue to be a constitutional republic. So we're going to continue this important discussion with Jay Davidson. But I did want to mention and say thank you to our great sponsors. And one of those is the Second Syndicate, which is there to protect the Second Amendment, which that protects our First Amendment.
The Second Amendment was established to ensure that all individuals have the right to resist oppression, stand firm against government overreach, and protect our ability to defend ourselves, our families, and our freedoms. Today, that right is under relentless attack in Colorado. Colorado's premier grassroots Second Amendment organization, the Second Syndicate, is on the front lines, fighting to preserve and protect your constitutional rights. We expose the most pressing threats to the Second Amendment and provide the education, resources, and tools to stay informed, empowered, and prepared. Join the movement. Protect your rights. Visit thesecondsyndicate.com. That's thesecondsyndicate.com, where the second is first.
The current level of interest rates is causing challenges and creating opportunities. For nearly 20 years, mortgage specialist with Polygon Financial Group, Lauren Levy, has helped individuals realize their hopes and dreams of home ownership, fund kids' educations through second mortgages, and access capital by utilizing reverse mortgages. Lauren's not constrained to work with just one lender. Because he works with many different lenders, Lauren offers you choices for your individual mortgage needs. Knowledge is power, and preparation leads to success. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881 so that you are prepared for the opportunities in the mortgage market. That's Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love the Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America, then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields, so they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter there, and you'll get first look at our upcoming guests as well as our most recent essays. And the Center for American Values is located down in Pueblo, Colorado, right around Independence Day, Independence Week. It's probably a good time to take a trip down there. The Center for American Values is located in Pueblo, which is known as the home of heroes because there's four Medal of Honor recipients who grew up there. They focus on these foundational American principles of honor, integrity, and patriotism. They're nonpartisan, nonpolitical. That website is AmericanValueCenter.org, AmericanValueCenter.org. I'm talking with Jay Davidson. He is the founder and CEO of First American State Bank, which is located right here in the metro area. And Jay Davidson, the founders realize that government should be limited. And we are way out of the fence on this whole thing with the federal government. You and I have talked about the federal debt, the spending. We've got to reduce the spending, no new debt. But I recently was reflecting on the additional debt that we have as citizens on the local level, the school district level, the parks and rec level. Just all across government. And this is going to take away our freedom if we don't get this under control. And if you don't have freedom, you're in essence a slave, right?
Yeah, exactly right. And we talked earlier about the right to ownership of property and how that's foundational to capitalism, to freedom, and to the founding of our nation. And when the government takes money from you, and they call it a tax or a fee, but still they're taking money away from you that you earn, then you have a duty, a right, and an obligation to speak up when it becomes excessive. And I submit to you that it's extremely excessive now. Common Sense Institute did an interesting study on taxes and fees, and when Tabor came into effect, the Democratic legislators found a way around Tabor, which is didn't allow them to increase taxes like they used to, and they started charging fees. So now fee income from the state is almost as much as the tax income for the state, and they're still in a deficit. They still can't control the spending in Colorado to stop this kind of debt that we're going into. So they're just like the federal government in that sense. And we talk about taxation and so forth, and that's really a serious issue because, you know, right now if you're at the top end of the wage scales and you're making, let's say, $250,000, $300,000 a year, which isn't that much anymore, you're in the top 10% of the nation in wage earners. And by the way, You top 10% wage earners, you're paying almost 90% of all the taxes that are paid. You have an extremely progressive tax rate now. And the bottom 50% of wage earners not only don't pay tax, but they're net recipients of government largesse through entitlements and welfare. So where's the fairness in this thing? There is none. It's the old tax and spend, you know, put it to the rich because they can afford it mentality that has pervaded this nation for over 100 years with President Woodrow Wilson. And I hate to say it, but both Democrats and Republicans are complicit in this. Not all of them, but a lot of them are. And our biggest enemy today is the people we elect. Talk about irony. We elect them and then they go tax us to death and put us into debt to pay for their spending. And the only reason they want to spend money is so they can get reelected. So what a Ponzi scheme that is.
Well, it is. And we have the word sustainable or sustainability in our narrative so much these days regarding energy production, all these different things out there. But we have to bring the word sustainability to economic policy, Jay Davidson.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful point, Kim. Sustainability only exists in the private sector, the non-government sector. Now, why do I say that? Because it's only in the private sector that we can self-sustain our business through reinvesting profits that we make through our efforts to sell our products and services in a free market. The government doesn't create profit. The government takes and takes and takes. And when they spend every tax dollar that you've given them, they go further and put us into debt so they can continue spending. And oh, by the way, that debt will accrue to our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and so forth. This is unconscionable. And honestly, this is why I got down on Trump's case. That big, ugly bill that they passed in Congress is wrong. You know, it started with a $380 billion excess debt, and they brought it down to $250 billion. There's no way there should be any additional debt in any budget that goes out from this point forward. In fact, they should be telling us how they're going to reduce that debt by reducing spending.
Agreed. And I had a question about that because I was very concerned. There's some other things I'm concerned with about the big, beautiful bill. But I did reach out to Wade Miller and had him on the show recently with the Center for Renewing America, which was founded by Russ Vogt. And Russ Vogt is the head of the Office of Budget and Management under the Trump administration. And I said, Wade, I am so concerned about this spending. And there's been reports out there from the Congressional Budget Office that this will increase the debt. But Wade said that the CBO is looking at this as static, and economics is not static, and that, in fact, they're trying to work a rescissions package that if they can get past sometime in August, that Trump will be able to, I would say, this is my terms, run the clock out on monies that have been allocated. This is, again, my understanding, money that's been allocated but has not been spent, and they can walk that back. So I was pleased to have that conversation because I, like you, was concerned about these headlines that said this was going to increase the debt significantly. So I wanted to have a conversation with Wade on that. And so it's a strategy. I don't know how it's going to work out, but it seemed like that was a step in the right direction, Jay.
The models that the CBO and other government agencies, economists use are called static models. And they're not real life. They're make-believe. For instance, the static model says if I increase the tax rate by 5%, then I just have to multiply 5 times the earnings, the income of the nation, and that's the amount of money that will flow directly into the government coffers. Now, that sounds good, but we both know that when they increase the taxes, the revenue that we receive as individuals will go down. because we will react to those excess taxes. So what is better is called a dynamic model, that if this changes, then that changes. Because everything in economics is connected and interconnected, like in ways that you can't believe. But it is interconnected. And if you can't figure out what those connections are, then you have no business being an economist. And I can tell you, there's a lot of economists that don't have a clue about the real world. They're academics. That's great. They're smart people. But they don't have a clue about how business works. And frankly, business is the basis of our economy. Mm-hmm. It's not the government. The government takes, and they take, and they take, and they take. And they crush, and they crush, and crush. The government is not a solution to any problem that we have. The government is the problem. I'm paraphrasing Mr. Reagan here, I think. But
I think that you
are. I like
are.
Him.
I do, too. So it's beyond me. I'm just a regular person. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist, I don't think, to figure out that what you just mentioned, a dynamic model, is really what they need to be using for forecasting, because people are human beings and they will make adjustments because people want to try to keep as much money in their pocket as possible. And Arthur Laffer and that young group in the Reagan administration came up with, supply-side economics. Am I remembering that right?
But you're right.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
Okay, and why don't you go ahead and explain that, Jay? You know that better than I do.
Well, let me see if I can. The whole idea, there's supply and there's demand. And if they're balanced, then you have a good, well-running economy without inflation or deflation. And when they get out of balance, then if there's too much demand for a product, then you get inflation. And if there's too little demand, you get stagnation. So the Democrats named Reagan's policies supply side economics. And in a sense, that's correct. But it really, it's Austrian school economics. This is the basis of von Mises and Hayek and Friedman. And it's the way that economies work. Their models are the best at describing how the economy works. And so what Reagan tried to do was he tried to free up the supply side, the manufacturers, the producers, the industries, the private enterprise, the private businesses, to do what they wanted to do and could do. Because we in private industry are bound to a very strict code of, number one, profitability. Why? Because our business won't continue if we don't make profits, period. And how do we do that? We do that by providing a product or service that is superior to other products or services that people willingly and freely want to purchase from us. That's the beauty of capitalism. That's why capitalism is so integrally tied into the individual and into the constitutional republic that is the formation, the form of our nation itself. They're all tied together. And so Reagan, the bloom on the economy from using Austrian school economics, or what they called supply side economics, lasted for decades. All the way through Clinton's term, Clinton was still enjoying the benefits of the government getting the heck out of our way. And, of course, you know, that changed. And now the government's even deeper into our pocket, deeper into our business, more regulation than I can believe right now. And regulation without any consequences to the regulator, they can pass their silly little regs all day long, and they don't get nailed for doing it, and yet we're suffering from that effort. I was just talking to one of my officers about the cost of compliance. Now, this is compliance to all these rules and regs that takes up volumes that we have to comply with now. CFPB and other things like that just doubled the size of it. And I'm spending a fortune in people just to follow these regs that are, oh, by the way, contradictory. I'm sorry, but I get kind of hot when I talk about these things. This is another example of the tyrant, the government tyrant, controlling our lives through regulation and fees.
Well, and I want to continue that discussion. And I had always talked about this administrative state, these bureaucrats, that they're unaccountable and unelected. But Jay Davidson, I realize that they are also insulated from us. And that's my new word on that. They're insulated, unaccountable, and unelected. That is antithetical to the American idea, Jay.
I like that. That's a good one. I'm going to use that one.
Okay. You got it. So let's see. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, I wanted to mention John Bozen and Bozen Law. If you've been injured, be sure and reach out to them as soon as possible.
You don't have to suffer the consequences of someone else's negligence on your own. The attorneys at Bozen Law have extensive experience handling all types of personal injury and wrongful death claims involving motor vehicle accidents, medical malpractice, defective products, catastrophic injuries, and more. Bozen Law also assists clients with matters related to workers' compensation and Social Security Disability, SSD. Bozen Law takes pride in truly getting to know their clients and genuinely cares about helping you seek the justice you deserve. Call Bozen Law at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary consultation. That number is 303-999-9999. Call Bozen Law now.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Franktown Firearms, in conjunction with Colorado CQB, will prepare you for real-world defense of your life and property. Imagine you get home and walk through your front door, and something seems off. A smell, a noise, a shadow that shouldn't be there. What you do next makes all the difference. Franktown's Shoot House is the only facility of its kind in Colorado where they run live-action scenarios using airsoft. Real rooms, real cover, and real training with highly qualified instructors. And their training is available for people of all skill levels, including you. For June and July, when you sign up for a range membership at Franktown, you're automatically enrolled in CQB for free. You'll get discounted firearm classes, concealed handgun training, and more. Classes at CQB fill up quickly, so sign up now while you can. Go to klzradio.com/Franktown and click on the CQB link to learn more. Or just send them a question through the online form. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. And we are pre-recording for this Independence Week. And I did want to mention the USMC Memorial Foundation. They are raising money for that remodel of the Marine Memorial. The official Marine Memorial is right out here in Golden. And as we are reflecting upon our independence, a nice thing to do would be to make a contribution, to say thank you to all of those that have given their lives or been willing to give their lives for our liberty. And what is liberty? It's the responsible exercise of freedom. And talking with Jay Davidson, he is a founder, CEO of First American State Bank. We've had some great topics here. One other thing, we talked a little bit about the economists and static modeling instead of dynamic modeling. And under Reagan, I think Reagan really understood this. And that is if you decrease taxes, and when you decrease taxes, you decrease government control. So when you decrease taxes, people have more money in their pocket. Actually, government revenues go up because the pie gets bigger and bigger. I think with static modeling, I think that they think the pie is just a certain static size. They don't think about the fact that as people are creating businesses and creating things, that the pie gets bigger and bigger, Jay.
Yeah, the equation is really simple. It's government revenue equals tax rate times, let's say, national income, right? So national income is the pool of all the income that everybody makes in the private sector and in the government sector. And the tax rate then is multiplied by that income, and that becomes government revenue. Real simple. so the static model people will say, well, if I increase the tax rate, then I'll get more of the national income, and therefore my government revenue will go up. And actually, when they did that, the government revenue goes down. And that's the problem with the static model. Dynamic model says, if you increase my taxes, I am going to find ways to avoid tax or to shut down my business or to slow it down so I don't make as much income. In other words, the population will react to excessive government intervention in our lives by excessive tax rates. So the national income number when tax rates go down, this is the third scenario and the most important one, when tax rates go down and people, like you said, hold more of their own money, they can spend it, they do so. And that increases business activity. That's liquidity. That's money supply flowing through the economy. And that grows the economy. And so the national income grows when you reduce tax rates, and government revenue grows when you reduce tax rates. Trump proved that in his first term. I mean, you know, nobody wants to give him credit for it, but that was brilliant on his part.
Well, it was, and before the whole COVID experience, this economy was growing. You and I both have said we are so concerned about the spending and the government debt, and I surmise perhaps that Trump thought if he got that economy really growing, that we could start to address the spending and all of this government spending and all that. I think he thought he could address that with a healthy economy. That then when you shut down the economy with COVID, well, it's no surprise that we've got all kinds of problems now.
Exactly right. It was probably one of the most profound negatives in the history of our nation when our government lied to us, in my opinion, I know people disagree with me, and shut down the economy all for the sake of, you know, saving my life. Well, sorry, guys, but it's my life to save, not yours. And I don't appreciate the government interfering in my rights to live my life as I see fit. I don't like Republicans doing it. I don't like Democrats doing it. And if they learned anything, we will go to war over those issues. And they're pushing us close to the brink. I'm not advocating for war at all. I pray to God we can find a peaceful solution. But we're a nation of individuals. Everybody that lives in this land came from somewhere else, except for, of course, me, being a Native American. You white people were here after I was here, but, you know, besides that. The point I'm trying to make is that each one of us, our ancestors, had the spark of individuality, the divine spark of individuality imbued in his soul or her soul, and they traveled distances to get here. What a unique set of people that exist in America. And if you want to talk about a independence, we're it. We're the epitome of the independent person. And messing with us is not a good idea for anybody. Even though I think most people are kind of brain dead when it comes to regulation and taxation and spending and so forth, you got to wake them up to the fact that all these things go together and they go to crushing that individual spirit. That's not a smart thing to do to people like us.
Well, and that's why these conversations that we have so much are so important. And I was reflecting upon all that we do here, Jay, and I was reading the Bible regarding Paul, and many times it says Paul would go into a town, he would go to the synagogue, and he would reason and persuade. And I think that's what we need to be doing, and hopefully we are helping people have those tools to do so, to have conversations with their friends and family and colleagues. to reason. Why is liberty, the responsible exercise of freedom, so important? And persuade people to realize that this spark that you mentioned needs to be protected and nurtured, and the only way to do that is through individual liberty. Your thoughts?
You know, I totally agree with you on that. And the term persuasion is the right word. Education, letting people think for themselves. You wonder, why did Christianity last for 2,000 years? Not because Jesus the Christ told us to do that. He said, you can do this. Try to understand what I'm telling you. I'll teach you, and you need to learn how to do it. That's why, because people individually came to see the light of his sermons. Why does Judaism last for 5,800 years? Same reason, because the great patriarchs said, here, I'm going to try to persuade you to live a certain life, live in a certain way. And I hope that all of us take that to heart. And the two sides to that is you've got to learn it yourself. You've got to get the wisdom there by doing the work and then articulate it in a manner that other people can follow, that want to follow. Be persuasive. Be positive. Don't be negative.
Good point. Last point that I want to make is, and we talked about taxation earlier in the show, and America, the thing that really got the founders going was this taxation without representation. And I think that we are, in many ways, again, I'm not advocating for arms or anything like that, but I am advocating that we engage in the battle of ideas. We reason with people. We persuade them. This taxation, this out of control regulation on our lives, we have got to get this turned around, Jay Davidson. That's why we have these conversations.
Amen. I do appreciate the conversations. And when you're talking with somebody else that disagrees with you, don't get upset. Just listen to them. If you watch Dr. Peterson debate, he is intensely listening to the person that's debating him. Why? Because he's listening to what that guy is saying and getting to the underlying premise of what that person is saying. And then he just calmly and effectively says, no, this is how it is. And, you know, that's a brilliant move on Dr. Peterson's part.
Well, and your final thought, we've got a minute left, Jay Davidson, for this Independence Week.
You're endowed by your Creator with His Spirit. And you are a unique individual, and you have every right to be a unique individual, and live according to the internal promptings that come from your true self. That will teach you everything you need to know over time. But be open to new ideas.
Well, and I agree, and also understand these principles that this country was founded on, this idea that all men are created equal. Calvin Coolidge said, if that's the case, that's final. There doesn't need to be a whole bunch more conversation about that. And with these rights from our Creator of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Jay Davidson, it is always great to have you on the show. I greatly appreciate it, and wishing you and yours a very blessed Independence Week.
Thank you, Kim. I wish everybody a great Independence Week.
And our quote for the end of the show is from George Washington. He said this, "Be Americans. Let there be no sectionalism, no north, south, east, or west. You are all dependent on one another and should be one in union. In one word, be a nation. Be Americans and be true to yourself." So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.